continuing the Sundance Reel for the weekend with co-host David Darcy and the director and producer of the film The Oslo Diaries. This is in the World Cinema documentary, and we're with Moore Lushi. Yes. And Daniel Sivan.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here in this wintry part of the world. It was it was not snowing here until the filmmakers showed up. So, but the Oslo Diaries is about an episode in the conflict in the Middle East. Is this a well-known story, or is it actually something that you're talking about that is not very well-known history?
Well, you know, the Oslo Accords in Israel is a very well-known event. I mean, everyone knows, most of people knows the handshake between Rabin and Arafat shaking their hands in the White House with Bill Clinton in 1994. But I think not a lot of people actually knows the story behind the scenes. What really happened in that moment? What was really signed? What was the human connection? What happened behind the scenes that eventually, you know, peace had failed? What we had there, people is not well known about it, and we're so thrilled and happy to tell this story.
So this started in 1992, and what brought a group of Israelis and a group of Palestinians together?
You know, it was 1992. The PLO, which was the Palestinian Liberation Organization, was illegal. Yasser Arafat was the leader. Israel was not willing to talk to Yasser Arafat. Rabin was the Israeli leader. He went on election, and people vote for him because he promised peace, but nothing happened, you know. In 7 months, 8 months, 9 months went on, and nothing happened. And then two professors that no one knew anything about them said to themselves, okay, we have an opportunity to really speak to the PLO, which they are the only, you know, leader that the Palestinians are actually recognizing them. They had this opportunity, an illegal opportunity, and they went for it. These two anonymous professors went to meet the leaders of the PLO, and a secret talks went on behind the scenes. And we are telling this whole story through their personal diaries of the negotiators, of these professors, everything that went on in the secret talks and this secret meetings that went on. We're revealing everything for the first time.
Yeah, it's really quite an eye-opener to get the testimony from people not only who were negotiating, but people who, through the course of it, saw the hope here and the end. Well, I hope it's not the end of hope, but the failure of the Oslo Accords.
Does that mean the high school?
And the rise, which seems to be a parallel development with the rise of Benjamin Netanyahu. Talk about the parallel between the effort to make peace and the effort by Netanyahu to leverage opposition to the peace for the benefit of his own political career, in the course of which you get the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin by an Israeli.
Well, I think really, I mean, it's kind of the chicken and an egg. It's kind of difficult to say what came first, the rise of Netanyahu or the death of the peace process. But really, I mean, for us, the story is a story about a public of people that are too afraid to make peace. They are hanging with all they can to the old Middle East, as you can put it. They don't want to take that leap of faith and say, okay, let's try and make something new. And on the Israeli side, you had the Greater Israel camp saying, we better have the whole of the Holy Israel and not give one piece of land back to the Palestinians. It's better than to have peace. And on the Palestinian side, you had the radicals saying, we believe in the Greater Palestine. We want to be back in our homeland, and we will not compromise. And these two radical sides basically took over the process.
How did you get everybody to talk to you?
Well, would you like to answer?
You know, it was not easy. Of course, I think in every documentary, the research is like the stone corner of what you do. And I think that from the moment we understood that we want to make a film about why peace has failed, we looked for the right angle. And when we started speaking to Ron Pundak, which he's now unfortunately not with us anymore, but we started speaking with Yair Hirschfeld and all the main characters, we understood that this is where all happened, Oslo. And then we started speaking to them, and they gave us their diaries. Really, we are very fortunate to get hold of, and also it's from both sides. Yeah, also the Palestinian side, all of the Palestinian leadership was interviewed to this film. So it's very, you know, we had to snuggle into the Palestinian territory, you know, in order to interview them. We were their guests, you know. For us as Israelis, it's illegal to even go there. So it was like to really talk to the other side, really listen to them.
Yeah, and there were some real friendships that developed in the course of this. But now, there's been talk of Norway recently in the United States. Donald Trump thinks more people from Norway should be coming here, I guess because they work hard. We don't really know. But these are the Oslo Accords. What was the role of Norway in bringing Israelis and Palestinians together in an estate in the middle of the woods and the snow in Norway secretly that the Israeli embassy in Norway was saying it knew nothing about and may not have known anything about? Talk about that.
So I think Norway was really a key player here in the sense that they were really the neutral mediators. I mean, the U.S., as you see now with Trump, is very, very, very one-sided towards Israel. And for the Palestinians, it's very hard to trust the U.S. The Norwegians were really a neutral side in this whole manner. And the fact that they brought these people for secret talks away from the chaos of the Middle East, on the one hand, it gave them some kind of solitude to look at their life in a more reflective manner. You know, walking in the snow, it's something we don't get in the Middle East. And on the other hand, it gave them a lot of privacy. And that privacy is what basically kept them alive, because if the talks would have leaked out, the Palestinians' lives would have been in danger and all of the Israelis would be in jail for a very long time. So that was a very important role of Norway.
Okay, so as in the case of so many films here, a lot of the audience will barely have been teenagers by the time of the Oslo Accords. And a lot of people watching this may have a kind of despondent feeling about the future in the Middle East, not just between Israel and Palestine, but Syria, Iraq, everywhere. What do you want the younger audience to take from this film? I mean, in a way, you're sort of Middle East 101 for a lot of people for whom this is, you know, decades in the past.
Yeah, for us, it's more than that. For us, it's really, I mean, when you look back at the Palestinian Liberation Organization, they were a group of the most hideous terrorists in the eyes of the Israelis. And the Israelis were really a group of conquerors in the eyes of the Palestinians. And it's really not very far from having now Donald Trump having real peace talks with ISIS or Netanyahu having real peace talks with the Hamas. I mean, these are two sworn enemies that really decided to sit and talk their way out of it. For us, that's the most inspiring part about it, really doing that leap of faith.
Well, let's look at this as cinema. You know, you think, oh, God, they're making a film about people sitting around a table in some house in Norway with a gray sky. But every time you cut away to anyone's reaction, there's a riot. Or, you know, you get mass unrest or whatever. So you went from, you know, theater in an enclosed space to, you know, to public spaces with people saying all sorts of outrageous things.
I think that was the challenge, you know, to go between those negotiations and that you really feel how risky is these negotiations, you know, how dangerous they are, because outside there is chaos, there is chaotic, people are dying, there's no time. And inside the room, it's from, on the one hand, it's you know, disconnected, but on the other hand, this is the real thing. So for us, the connection between the inside and the outside was so important, and unfortunately, the outside has won.
But this is the truth of diplomacy. These, over the course of these negotiations, these men, they were all men, learn about each other as real people. And then the challenge is to sell this or persuade a public that this is the direction to take. And this is the, you know, the challenge of diplomacy in every context. Well, and it's I don't want to give it away, but we know the history of this, so the audience will see this.
Yes, yeah.
No spoiler alerts.
Yeah. Maybe they have achieved peace. You will never know.
Yeah. Just as long as you're not a Muslim from certain countries that can't come to the United States, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Tune in to the next episode of the Oslo Diaries. The film here at Part City has a showing tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Ray?
No, it's the Yarrow.
The Yarrow. It's six tomorrow. Come.
Yes, yeah.
Join us. Also, be enraged.
All right. Also Monday at the Redstone One, and Thursday at Part City Library, and final showing Saturday at the Holiday Village. Again, Moore Lushi and Daniel Sivan with the Oslo Diaries. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.